श्री ज्योतिराजाय विवेकानंद सूरय सचित सुख स्वरूपाय स्वामिने तपहरिने। I bow down to Swami Vivekananda, who is the hero among human beings, who is the king among the monks, who is the embodiment of Satchidananda, existence, consciousness, bliss, absolute, and who is born to do good to humanity. May Swamiji inspire us and guide us. Om Shantihi, 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 peace, peace, peace be unto all. As you know, we are observing Swami Vivekananda's 150th anniversary all over the world. This year, we shall discuss about Swami Vivekananda's life and message. Swamiji was born 12th January 1863, passed away 4th of July 1902. He lived in this world 39 years, 5 months, 24 days. And he said, I have given enough to humanity, 1500 years of thoughts. A very special soul came to fulfill Sri Ramakrishna's mission. Avatar, an incarnation of God, does not come alone. He comes with Shakti, his female counterpart, and a group of disciples. They are very special people. They come to do good to the world. Sri Ramakrishna realized the Divine Mother in 1856, and he had to wait 23 years for his disciples. Vivekananda came in 1881, November. And immediately Sri Ramakrishna recognized him. Vivekananda's mother had several daughters, but no sons. So he prayed to Bireshwar Shiva of Benares to give her a son. I remember when I was in Benares, sometimes at 4 o'clock I used to go to that Vireshwar Shiva temple. And I noticed many women go there. Those who want children, they go and pray to Lord Shiva. So Swamiji's mother sent a devotee, one of her relatives, who lived in Benares, to worship, to give a special offering to Lord Shiva for a son. And thus, Vivekananda was born out of her prayer. Before Vivekananda was born, Sri Ramakrishna had a vision. He found his mind going to the higher realm of the realm of Saptarshi, Vanjal, or the seven sages immersed in meditation. And the little boy embraced one of those sages and said, "I am going to the world, you will have to come to me." And that sage opened his eyes and tacitly agreed. That the moment Swamiji saw him, he said, "He is the one of the seven sages. He is Nitya Siddha, ever perfect souls. Ishwar Koti, they have powers like God, except they cannot create, preserve and destroy. Otherwise, all powers of God belong to them. Ishwar Koti, akin to Godhead. Why do they born? They have no desires. You see, we are born because we to fulfill our desires. This person does not have any desire. Then why do they born? Just to do good to humanity. That is the reason they come to this world. When Sri Ramakrishna saw him, immediately recognized that he is that parent person. So I just gave you a little background of Vivekananda, and now I am going to read and explain to you that a new book has come out, Swami Vivekananda on himself. Very interesting. I am now giving classes in St. Louis also on this book. I shall read and explain to you. These are all Vivekananda's own words. Birth and Boyhood, Chapter 1. For the salvation of his own soul and for the good and happiness of the many, the sannyasin is born in the world to sacrifice his life for others, to alleviate the misery of millions rending the air with their cries, to wipe away the tears from the eyes of the widow, to console the heart of the bereaved mother, to provide the ignorant and depressed masses with the ways and means for the struggle for existence, and enable them to stand on their own feet, to preach broadcast the teachings of the Shastras, Shastra means the scriptures, to one and all without distinction for their material and spiritual welfare, to rouse the sleeping lion of Brahman in the hearts of all beings by the diffusion of the light of knowledge. For this, the sannyasin is born in the world. It is for the conservation of this purpose in life that we have taken birth, and we shall lay down our lives for it. This is the preamble. Vivekananda is telling us the purpose of human life, especially for a monk. He put two ideals in front of the monastics. Atmana mokshartham jagaddhitaya cha. When we take our final vows, we take that Ganges water and the fruits and the flowers, and we take, they call it a resolution, sankalpa mantra. I am going to embrace this monastic life for my own liberation and for doing good to humanity. You see, if you kill one bird by one arrow, you are already an ordinary person. If you can kill two birds in one arrow, then you are very intelligent. So he made these twin ideals of a life. If you only want one liberation, you are selfish. Very selfish. You are only seeking about yourself, me. No good. This is called Bodhisattva ideal. Bodhisattva ideal is this Bodhisattva. He knows this side of the river, he knows the other side of the river. The world and Nirvana. Here is Anittam asukam lokam imam praipa bhajaswamam. Krishna says in the Gita, this world is anittam, not permanent. Asukam, full of misery. So having this world, just worship me. If you want peace and bliss in life. That Krishna says in the Gita. So a bodhisattva knows there is no permanent peace, happiness here. So he has a boat. He takes human beings from this shore of the river to the other shore. He is a ferryman. That is his job. I remember a story when Swami Vivekananda and Turiyananda in America in 1900, the American devotees in San Francisco told Turiyananda, Swami, you are a great monk, a great Vedantin. Turiyananda says, no, I am just a small boat. Swamiji is the Atlantic liner. Swamiji can carry thousands of people. I can carry only 2-3 persons. Bodhisattva. So that is the twin ideals. He is toiling that I am, from his childhood, I want to be a monk. To have a married life, to have children, family life, it never came to his mind. His parents tried to arrange his marriage. You will read later, you will see. Sri Ramakrishna went to Kali temple and grabbed mother's feet. Mothers, let not Narendra be drowned. He got $10,000 rupees dowry at that time. 10,000 rupees dowry. And the father-in-law, would-be father-in-law, told him that he will send him to England for barrister of law, to become a lawyer. Whole marriage was cancelled. We shall read all those funny stories about Swamiji's life. My father and mother fasted and prayed for years and years so that I would be born, as I told you already. When Swamiji was in America, sometimes people would ask, what do you think about the virgin birth? You see, in Christianity, one of our Boston Swami used to say, whole Christianity is in the womb and in the tomb. The virgin birth and the resurrection. He was making a very funny way. The whole Christianity is in the womb and in the tomb. So, what do you think about virgin birth? Swamiji, do you know what did he reply? I am very happy that I have natural parents. As we are born, you know, in a natural way. All these people, those who are here, we are born in a very natural way. I know that before I was born, my mother would fast and pray and do hundreds of things which I could not even do for 5 minutes. She did that for 2 years. I believe that whatever religious culture I have, I owe to that. I was consciously that my mother brought me into the world to be what I am. Whatever good impulse I have was given to me by my mother, and consciously, not unconsciously. He was very devoted to his mother. All great teachers are very devoted to the mother. Sri Ramakrishna was extremely devoted to the mother. Christ, very devoted to the mother. Ramachandra, Krishna, they are all devoted to their mothers. Because this woman is responsible to bring me to this world. Mother first. That is the reason on the Taittiriya Upanishad, when we say mantras, Matri Deva Bhava, Pitri Deva Bhava, Otiti Deva Bhava, Acharya Deva Bhava. Adore your mother as God. Adore your father as God. Adore your teacher as God. Adore your guest as God. That is the convocation address in the Vedic period. I, the love which my mother gave to me, that has made me what I am, and I owe a debt to her that I can never repay. You know, sometimes I see the modern mothers in this country. I used to see my other house when I was in the other cottage. The little boy the mother is carrying, they used to work, she used to work in that Irvine University. She used to take the little baby and carry to the JKIR center and go to work. And in the evening, grab the baby and brought to the home. The boy's name was Adam. I saw Adam was so tired, exhausted. He just put the baby in the JKIR center and grabbed it. And it says, a mother's love and affection is very, very important for the children, I tell you. Nurse the baby, protect the child, free the adult. Which is extremely important. I was watching the royal baby born. They are showing in the ABC. How many times I have seen my mother going to take her first meal when it was 2 o'clock. We took hours at 10 and she at 2 because she had so many things to attend to. For example, someone knocks at the door and says, guest, and there is no food except what was for my mother. She would give that to him willingly and then wait for her own. That was her life and she liked it. And that is why we worship mothers as gods. You know, same thing I saw in my mother. She used to eat, in our country, husband and wife, they do not eat first. Mother will serve first, my father and ourselves, they will serve first, food first, and then she will eat afterwards. And if there is not sufficient food for us, too many guests have come, she will give her food, and then she will eat some puff rice or some chida, that flattened rice with some coconut scraped and some molasses. That's it. Or if there is any fruits. Again, cooking is difficult. That is the way a Hindu mother maintains the family. I have such a memory. When I was only 2 years old, I used to play with my sais as being a bairagi, clothed in ashes and kopina. And if a sadhu came to beg, they would lock me in upstairs. To prevent my giving too much away, I felt that I also was this, and that for some mischief I had to be sent away from Shiva. No doubt my family increased this feeling. For when I was naughty and would say, dear, dear, so many austerities, you Shiva sent us. For when I was naughty, they would say, dear, dear, so many austerities, yet Shiva sent us this demon after all, instead of a good soul. Or when I was very rebellious, they would empty a can of water over me, saying Shiva, Shiva, and then I was all right, always. Even now, when I feel mischievous, that word keeps me straight. When he was very naughty, her mother will bring him one pot of water and put on his head, Shiva, Shiva, then he will come down. That mantra works. Later on, Swamiji said, you know, after becoming a monk, one thing I really achieved. Do you know what? My control over anger. I had terrible anger, temper tantrum. I have so much energy, I'm bubbling inside with energy. You will find later on Swamiji said to Pramoda Das Mitra, who in Banaras, I am leaving. When I shall come back, I shall burst on the society like a bomb. He has so much energy. When I was a little boy at a school, I had a fight with another school fellow about some sweetmeats. And he, being the stronger boy, snatched them from my hand. I remember the feeling I had. I thought that boy was the most wicked boy ever born, and that as soon as I grew strong enough, I would punish him. There was no punishment sufficient for his wickedness. We have both grown up now, and we are fast friends. This world is full of babies to whom eating and drinking and all these little cakes are everything. They will dream of these cakes, and their idea of future life is where these cakes will be plentiful. Mind changes. I remember in a story, a monk, or Swami Shraddhananda ji, was writing diary at 11 o'clock at night. So I was in his room. I asked him, why are you writing diary? Because the diary tells me this world is not real. Uncle, how? Listen, 7 days ago, something happened. And I was so upset, I cannot tell you. And after 7 days, I opened the entry of the diary and I find that is the most negligible thing, you know, most unimportant thing happened. Now I see. I'm not upset at all when I read that entry. This, how human mind changes. There is a saying of Tagore, Bhabe shudhu boro hai shudhu jabe ke na bajar ujar kore jote ko khelo na. A child always thinks, when I shall grow up, I shall buy all toys of the market. But when you grow up, toys are no more necessary. How human mind changes. Swamiji told you another thing. Do you know what is the most important game food? He says soccer. Why? Kick against kick. You kick me, I shall kick you. He loved soccer. What I saw and felt when going through the forest for the way to Raipur, there's a big footnote. In the year 1877, when Vivekananda, then Noren, was about 14 years old, his father went to Raipur in the central province, now Madhya Pradesh. He arranged that his family should follow him later, led by Noren. It was a journey partly by bullock cart via Allahabad and Jabalpur through dense forests and over frequented roads for the railways where in those days constructed only up to Nagpur. As for Swamiji's father was an attorney, he practiced law not only Calcutta, sometimes Raipur, Lahore, Lucknow, different places. Do you know why? It was the British period, you will have to understand. And most of the languages in the court was Farsi, Urdu. That is the Muslim influence. So in the court, if you know English and other languages, then you are a very good lawyer. So he knew 3-4 languages. So he was a very prominent, and that is the way he used to make a good money. We had to travel by the foot of the Bindu Mountains that day. Bindu Mountain is the middle of India. The peaks of the ranges on both sides of the road rose very high in the sky. Various kinds of trees and creepers bending under the weight of fruits and flowers produced wonderful beauty on the mountain side. Birds of various colors flying from tree to tree filled the quarters with sweet notes. I saw all this and felt an extraordinary peace in my mind. The slow-moving bullock carts arrived at a place where two mountains peaks, coming forward as though in love, locked themselves in an embrace over the narrow forest path. Observing carefully below the meeting points, I saw there is a very big cleft from the crest of the foot of the mountain and on one side of the path. And filling that cleft, there was hanging in it an enormous honeycomb, the result of the bees' labors for ages. Filled with wonder, as I was pondering over the beginning and the end of that kingdom of bees, my mind became so much absorbed in the thought of the infinite power of God, the controller of the three worlds, that I completely lost my consciousness of the external world for some time. I do not remember how long I was lying in the bullock cart in that condition. When I regained normal consciousness, I found that we had crossed that place and come far away. As I was alone in the cart, no one could know anything about it. That was the first time he had some kind of samadhi. He lost consciousness of the external world. According to Yoga Vasishtha Ramayana, these three things happen simultaneously. Manonash, Vasanakhay, Tattvajnan. Vasanakhay, cessation of desires. If there is no desire in the mind, mind dissolves, dissolution of the mind. When mind dissolves, comes illumination. These three things happen simultaneously. Sometimes when you meditate, you stop the mind. I have no desire. In this way, just stop. So that always you remember, the moment you sit for meditation and close your eyes, you will see your eyes are moving, going out, various directions. At that time, just close. No, I won't let you go. If you can struggle 5-7 minutes, you will find mind will stop. Then do you know what will happen? Your third eye will open. That is the mental eye, the knowledge eye. When that thing opens, then you will be in a different world. So, he lost his outer consciousness. Seeing that honeycomb and that panoramic beauty of that mountain, he remembered he was watching the creation. And that creation shoot his mind to the creator. Who is this creator? You see, we see beautiful ocean, the sunset, this, that. We just watch it. But we do not connect it with God. I remember one of our devotees was telling me, Swami, in Laguna Beach, in the gazebo, they have a Sunday morning, there is a, they call it laughing club. They go there, ha 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 ha, they laugh. Then I told him, well, perhaps in the evening I can open, there is a crying club. Morning laughing, evening crying club. Well, I shall explain that the reason of my crying club, that Sri Ramakrishna used to see the setting sun and cry, Mother, another day is gone in vain, still thou art not revealed unto me. Seeing this, Sri Ramakrishna used to cry. So I shall open a crying club there, but I know nobody will come. Who wants to cry? Sri Ramakrishna says, people shed jackful of tears for wife, for children, for money. Who wish for God? Oh Lord, I want you and you in my life. Who says that? Ask yourself. We cannot deny that there is much misery in the world. To go out and help others is, therefore, the best thing we can do. Although in the long run, we shall find that helping others is only helping ourselves. As a boy, I had some white mice. They were kept in a little box in which there are little wheels, and when the mice tried to cross the wheels turned and turned, and the mice never got anywhere. So it is with the world and our helping it. The only help is that we get moral exercise. Religion begins in many ways. Some people think Buddhistic religion it started from misery. Shankara philosophy started from misery. Do you know how? In the Shankara Karika, the first verse says, Dukkha travi ghata jigasa tadabhugata ke hetu drishti sa partha chet naikantyatyantato bhavat. That is the first verse of the Shankara Karika of Ishvara Krishna. Being tormented by three kinds of desire, a thought came in human mind, how can I stop it? Misery. How can I stop misery? There are three kinds of misery. First kind of misery is adhyatmika. Misery connected with body and the mind. Physical disease, headache, there are various kinds of disease, and mental problems, you know, sadness, depression. So your mental problem and physical problem, that is called first kind of misery. Second, adibhautika. Misery which comes from other beings. Tiger, lion, gun shooters, and some evil people in the society, they also give trouble. All the gunjas and the murderers and the all sorts of evil people or evil birds, animals, they give problems. That is called adhi bhautika. Or adhi daivika, natural disaster, natural calamities, earthquake, tornado, then various kinds of problems, you know, which I have no control. Fire. Look, so many people died from the forest fire. This is called adidoivika. Supernatural, we have no control. So we are all tormented by three kinds of miseries. So a question arose, how can I stop it? But your problem in hunger, eat food. But again hunger comes. It is not complete cessation, 100% cessation that the misery will never come again. It will not happen. It comes again and again. But if you have self-knowledge, you are free from misery. You will transcend the body idea. Buddha also says, sarvam dukkham dukkham sanikam sanikam salakshanam salakshanam shunyam shunyam. That is the whole Buddhist philosophy. Sarvam dukkham dukkham. Everything in this world is full of misery. Salakshanam shanikam shanikam. Everything is momentary. Salakshanam salakshanam. It is all different species. Shunyam shunyam. Everything is void. So, Buddha says, yes, there is misery. Buddha is just like a physician. If you have misery, if you have a disease, what do? You go to a doctor. And then doctor will ask, tell me what is your misery? This. What is the cause of your misery? Then he will give you the remedy. Then you buy the medicine. Buddha's philosophy is also the four things. The cause of the misery? Vasana, desire. How to stop the desire? Follow my Ashtangik Marga, my Eightfold Path. You will be free from desire, free from misery. That is the way Buddhist philosophy works. Swamiji is talking about dukkha. He says a dukkha, happiness and misery, are the obverse and the reverse of the same coin. If you want happiness, you will have to get misery. There is no escape. Do you know what the Swamiji says? The pendulum of the clock must swing. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. Happiness, misery, happiness, misery, happiness, misery. That is the way our life goes. Have you seen anybody all the time happy or all the time miserable? No way. It is like a pendulum, it is moving. Tick-tock, tick-tock. So, what is our goal? Stop the pendulum. Then you will be illumined. No maya can catch you. How to stop the pendulum? That he is talking about. You see, we'll have to do good to the others. That way, do you know what you are going to do? You are destroying your selfishness. Selfishness. Swamiji says, selfishness is sin, unselfishness is God. Selfishness will go away. And while I always remind our people, these are the four aphorisms of dog's curly tail. This world is the dog's curly tail. And we are going to straighten it out. That is the second aphorism. Third, we shall definitely fail. Fourth, while trying to do so, we will be straightened out. These are the four aphorisms of dog's curly tail. Very interesting. Swamiji mentioned, do you know what is ethics? The way Swamiji defined ethics, it is so beautiful. Not I, but thou. That is ethics. Efface your ego and serve people, serve others. Happiness in misery. Rama came, Krishna came, Buddha came, Jesus came, Sri Ramakrishna came. Could they stop all misery of this world? No way! Misery should be there. It is a gift of God. Holy Mother says, "Ei dukkho bhagavaner dan." This misery is a gift of God. If we had no misery, our mind would never turn toward God. We'll be bound in this world. Sometimes it is good that we have some problems and misery. Oof! Oh, no more. When we'll be disgusted, then we are turn our minds toward God. Otherwise, all the time we'll be earthbound souls, very heavy, full of misery. And we rotate like Wall Street, you know, share market, ups and downs. So mind goes ups and downs. One lady used to come to me in St. Louis. Never married, inherited some money, put into the stock market. She said, "Swami, my mind fluctuates every morning. I open my computer. If my stocks are up, I am happy. Stocks are down, I am unhappy. Swami, I cannot help it." Could you imagine that the person always, my share is down today, I am down. My share is up today, I am up. Shh, what a life. Sleep to money. Really, she is a great teacher. When my teacher came to our house, I brought my English and Bengali books to him and showing him the particular book and the portions in them that were to be learned as lessons for the day. I laid myself down to sit quietly. The teacher repeated twice or thrice the spelling, pronunciation, meaning, etc. of the words of those portions of the books, as if he was finished, he was himself learning the lesson and went away. That was sufficient for me to learn them. He has photographic memory, genius. When he learns, hears, he doesn't forget. At that time, Encyclopedia Britannica was in 24 volumes. I'm talking about in 1900s. So Swamiji's disciple, they bought the whole set in Belurmath Library. So his disciple, Sharchandra Chakraborty, was asking Swamiji, this 24 volumes Encyclopedia Britannica, but a man cannot finish reading in whole life. What do you mean? I already finished, I think, 12 or 14 volumes. You can ask any questions from any one of them. So disciple was curious, brought a book and started thinking. Swamiji started to speak on that subject and which are not in the books. He had encyclopedic knowledge. Gigantic brain, gigantic willpower, gigantic memory. A real hero. But teacher read and he only listened. That's it. A little arithmetic, some Sanskrit grammar, a little of language and accounts, these are taught in the primary school. A little book on ethics taught by an old man, we learned by heart, and I remember one of the lessons. For the good of village, a man ought to give up his family. For the good of a family, he ought to give up his village. For the good of humanity, he may give up his country. And for the good of world, everything. Tyajet ekam kulasyarte gramasyarte kulam tyajet gramam janapadasyarte atmarte prithivyam tyajet. It is in Hitopadesham. I remember when we are in school, we had to memorize all the shlokas from the Hitopadesh. This book on morality and ethics. From the 6th grade, 7th grade, I have to memorize Sanskrit shlokas. Utsave vyasane jaiva durvikshe rashtra viplave rajadare smasane cha jati stuti sabandhava. I am telling you, from 1980s, I memorized it in 1949. Who is your friend? Utsave, at the time of festivity. Vyasane, at the time of our good time. Durvikshe, at the time of famine. Rashtra viplave, at the time of war. Smashane, when somebody dies in your family, in the cremation ground. Rajuddare, when you are arrested and taken to the police. If a person stands beside you, that person is your friend. How to check a friend? This is the way you can check your friends. Good time, bad time. Not fair weather friends, you know. Only good time, I am your friend. And when you lose your beauty, money, everything, oh no, I don't want you. Swamiji is gigantic. Such verses are there in the books. We get them by heart and they are explained by teacher and pupil. This was another reason we had to memorize it out of fear. Or Pandit Mashai, the Sanskrit teacher, will bring a cane, yellow side, yellow this much, and this side. If you cannot hit, out of fear we have to memorize. But I know it worked. Sometimes he would say, 3-3. So, mistake. In this country, if you do that, you will lose job. Every Japanese will throw you out. Even a mother cannot bang her child publicly, otherwise she will be in jail. Oh, child abuse. I hear all these things. This was the first verse that I was taught in my life the first day I went to school. He indeed is a learned man who looks upon all women as his mother, who looks upon every man's property as much as so much dust, and looks upon every being as his own soul. It is also in Sanskrit. Every woman is mother. That is the reason. Do you know what? When Swamiji came to America, they asked him, why don't you marry? Do you know what Swamiji answered? Why should I marry? When I see a woman, I think of her as my divine mother. To emancipate myself from the earthly ties and attachment so that there is no rebirth for me. The moment I shall die, I shall merge into divine. That he said. Very exceptional person. Born leader. Leader cannot be made. Even while I was a student in Calcutta, I was of a religious temperament. I was critical. Even at that time of my life, mere words would not satisfy me. Religious temperament, at the same time, very scientific outlook, extremely rational. That he learned from his school. Don't accept anything without evidence. Because the scripture says so, this I will have to believe it, not necessarily. I want to check by myself. I used to see all my life a wonderful point of light between my eyebrows as soon as I shut my eyes in order to go to sleep. And I used to observe attentively its various changes so that it might be convenient to see it. I used to lie on my bed in the way people bow down touching the ground with their foreheads. The extraordinary point kept changing its colors and increasing in size, became gradually converted into the form of a ball, and bursting at last, converted my body from head to foot with the white liquid light. As soon as that happened, I lost consciousness and fell asleep. I believe that all people went to sleep that way. I was long under that impression. When I grew up and began to practice meditation, that point of light used to come before me as soon as I closed my eyes, and then I concentrated my mind on it. In those days, I daily practiced meditation with a few friends according to the instruction of Maharshi Devendranath. We talked among ourselves about the nature of visions and experiences that each of us had. At that time, I came to know from what they said that they never had the vision of such a light and that none of them went to sleep in that way. When Sri Ramakrishna saw him and asked this question, "Tu ghumer age jyoti dekhte pash? Do you see a light when you go to bed?" "Of course I do. Does not everybody see?" "No, my boy." He had a feeling that, you know, that is normal, natural to all human beings. That when you go to bed, you see a light and then merge into light. Because he had that thing, he used to think that everybody has that type of thing. Then he used to check his friends, "Do you go see this?" I said, "No. I see it." It happened in Boranagar Math. The disciples used to sleep in one room under one mosquito curtain. They are so poor. when they became monks, after Ramakrishna's passing away. One night, Swami Sivananda, Mahapurush Maharaj, saw that Swamiji was lying down. His whole body was emanating a light and a lot of small emblems of Shiva, Botu Ghoirav, all emblems of Shiva around his body. Then next morning, Mahapurush Maharaj asked Swamiji, "Swamiji, what have I seen?" "Oh, you saw those Shivas. Oh, they're my guardian angels. They are protecting me from my very birth." Very, you know, I sometimes ask people, please read Swamiji. You will understand what is true spirituality. If you read four yogas, you will understand what is true religion. This man has tremendous passion for truth. I want to know the truth. So at that time, Rabindranath Tagore's father, Devendranath Tagore, was the leader of Adi Brahma Samaj. And sometimes Maharshi used to stay in the houseboat on the Ganges and meditate. They are very rich people. Swamiji went to his boat. "Please tell me, how should I meditate? Have you seen God?" He did not give an answer. Only he said, "Tuma chok yogi chokhu. Your eyes are like a yogi." Rabindranath's father told Vivekananda, "Tumar yogir chokhu. Yogi's eyes." Only he got the answer from Ramakrishna. "Have you seen God?" "Yes. I can show you also." From my boyhood, I have been a daredevil. Otherwise, could I have attempted to make a tour round the world almost without a penny in my pocket? I was a vagabond. Nothing. And his disciples, Mysore Maharaja, Ramnath Maharaja, Khetri Maharaja, Alwar Maharaja. "I am a vagabond monk." When at the school, one night I was meditating within closed doors and had a fairly deep concentration of mind. How long I meditated in that way, I cannot say. It was over and I still kept my seat, when from the southern wall of that room, a luminous figure stepped out and stood in front of me. There was a wonderful radiance on its visage, yet there seemed to be no play of emotion on it. It was the figure of a sannyasin, absolutely calm, seven-headed, and staff and kamandalu, a sannyasin's water pitcher in hand. He gazed at me for some time and seemed as if he would address me. I too gazed at him in speechless wonder. Then a kind of fright seized me. I opened the door and hurried out of the room. Then it struck me that it was foolish of me to run away like that, that perhaps he might say something to me. But I have never met that figure since. Many a time and often I have thought that if I again I saw him, it would be more be afraid, but would speak to him. But I met him no more. I could find no clue to his wisdom. I think it was the Lord Buddha whom I saw. You see, his concentration is not ordinary concentration. His concentration is 100%. For the reason he could have any kind of vision. when Swamiji was coming to America in 1893, Jamshedji Tata was also traveling with him in the same boat, Empress of India, from Yokohama to Vancouver. Later on, Tata told Sister Nivedita that when Swamiji was in Japan, the Japanese people were struck seeing the likeness of Buddha in Swamiji. He looked like Buddha. He was very fond of Buddha. In Baranagar Math, the disciples used to write many maxims on the wall. They wrote this verse of Buddha's determination before illumination, before Nirvana. Yasane shushyatu me shariram tagusti mamsam pralayancha jatu aprapabodhi bahukalpa durlavam naivasanat kaya matasya lishyate. That is written on the wall in the Baranagar Math when the Ramakrishna's disciples first started the monastery. Yasane shushyatu me shariram. Let my body be dried up on this seat. Tagoksti mangsam pralayancha jatu. Let my flesh and bone fall apart. Aprapta bodhi bahukalpa durlabham. Without attaining this bodhi, nirvana, knowledge, wisdom, naivasanat kayamatashyalishate, I shall not move from this place. That is the resolution Buddha took before illumination. And he had illumination. The disciples used to follow this kind of teachings of other religions also. From my boyhood, I shall stop here tonight. Swamiji is very, very special. Swami Turiyananda used to say, Ekashchandra. There cannot be two moons. Moon is always one. So Vivekananda is always one. Sri Ramakrishna himself says, so many people came to me, but nobody like Narendra. Very special. I do not know, this book perhaps is not available here, but perhaps it may be available in Hollywood. Swami Vivekananda on himself. And we brought here some, please tell them.
The new updated edition of Vivekananda Eats Me Smith, and it has all kinds of fabulous pictures in there.
There are 288 photographs out there. It is a new, it just came out recently. So, if we are, you know, we have four copies here, if anybody wants to buy, can have them. All right. Thank you. Good night.